2026 Florida State football schedule is here, and we're going to break it down for you guys. We're going to do some overview thoughts on it, some game-by-game look-aheads, maybe even give a way too early prediction on how the season might go for Florida State. But you know, Michael, the fun thing about the schedule coming out is I know things haven't been great lately, but it at least gets you to start dreaming of the fall, right? And you know, I posted about this on social media yesterday where through good times and bad, man, there's just nothing like game days in Tallahassee, tailgating with your friends and doing the war chant and doke and all that stuff. So it does start to get you excited because this is Florida State football is such a big part of our lives. And right. So it's exciting to finally start planning those fall trips and getting your eyes on what games you want to go to. And, you know, we'll discuss all that stuff coming up. But man, that's what we're going to focus on today is the 2026 schedule. There's some things I like about it. There's some things I really don't like about it, and it's a pretty tough one. So we're going to get in and break everything down for you guys. You know, it feels like football season's on the brink, and then I realize it's 15 degrees outside, and we're supposed to get snow this weekend. So we got a long way to go. So it's still early to start dreaming, but doesn't mean we can't break it down for you guys. Before we do that, Michael, how are you, my friend? And happy to be on another episode with you.
Thanks, Jesse. Happy to be with you as well. I'm doing all right, you know, enjoying this Florida somewhat cold but not cold weather, depending on how you like your weather here. Also, for a brief moment in time, Jesse, forgot about Florida State football. I was living in bliss. And then I got alerts from you, from Twitter, about the schedule release. And then all the misery set back in.
You're back like a bug to a bug zapper.
Exactly. And I started, you know how it is. You see the schedule, you go into W's and L's, you start thinking, okay, you know, what game can we get to? What game can you and I get to together? And yeah, you know, I've had a, you know, situation we'll talk about sometime later down in the year, you know, where it's different for me now. And so I'm trying to figure that out. And but yeah, you know, it also I will say this and I'll throw it back to you is that it's still exciting. It's still Florida State football. You still love it. You're like you said, a bug to the bug zapper. And I'm interested to see your takes on this schedule for 2026.
Yeah, and I mean, we know, we say it all the time on the show, hope is not a strategy. Yeah. But you hope they surprise you every year. And as I always say, look, it's not illegal to get better. So
no, it's not.
Certainly maybe they could. But, you know, it's true, though. Like I was telling somebody the other day, I said, man, honestly, I almost care as much about who I get to see when I go to the games mm-hmm. than the games themselves nowadays. Mm-hmm. Like I just love tailgating. I love seeing our people out and about, yep. you know, at tailgates and stuff. So really, that's the part that really gets me excited more than anything. And speaking of, before we jump into the show, man, I want to give a quick shout out to my guy, Kenny, who I ran into at Sam's Club the other day. Every time I go to Sam's Club, I run into a Florida State fan, and he comes up and he's like, I subscribe to you on YouTube. And so like, it's just crazy that 7 hours from Tallahassee, you run into a subscriber right there in Sam's Club. And man, we talked for like about 15, 20 minutes until our wives were about to just leave us and go somewhere else in Sam's Club, or they were going to shut the lights off. Cause man, we instantly clicked. And so big shout out to Kenny. I just, man, that's what makes this so much fun, yeah. right? We don't do this for a job. We don't do this for money. We do this because we love Florida State and we do it for the love of the people of the PTS family. And so, man, that was so awesome. So shout out to Kenny. And like I told him, man, anytime if you see one of us in public, yes. please do come say something.
Come say hi.
We absolutely love it. Also, I want to give a quick happy birthday to Mike Bartz, one of our longtime subscribers, man. And he watches everything. So just want to give him a quick shout out too. So man, yeah, it's crazy. It still blows my mind to run into people that subscribe to us. But man, wanted to give him a shout out because it caught me off guard, but I love it, man. I'd already told him, we're going to be talking a lot of Florida State football coming up because we only live about 20 minutes apart. So get ready.
There you go. I love it because, you know, Sam's Club, when you get the free samples, you know, you might be getting crap samples from Florida State, but you get free samples from Sam's Club. So Sam's Club, if you want to sponsor us, we'll advertise for you now.
Yeah, right. And hey, I mean, we know about some bargain bin quarterbacks,
that's right?
So that's what we were shopping for at Sam's Club. Right. But no, man, so I do appreciate it. That was just a really cool moment that I had the other day. Also, we are recording on Friday, January the 30th, which means we are only 2 weeks from baseball season, from opening day of Florida State baseball. And I can't wait, man. I've been trying to get my notes together to do a baseball season preview. Hopefully I'm going to be able to do that with a guest that's very familiar with the baseball team coming up. But looking at things, man, I think they've really kind of worked on that pitching staff. Mm-hmm. And of course, you got guys like Miles Bailey and all that coming back. So, man, you know, if you can stay healthy, of course, it's Florida State. I already saw we lost one pitcher for the year. Before the season even started. But man, if that bullpen can stay healthy, I think, you know, again, Link's got that program rolling over there. Yeah. So I'm excited about that. Of course, softball season is going to come along with that starting too. And then I got to give a shout out real quick to the women's lacrosse, who plays their inaugural very first game in program history on February the 7th against Stetson. So, man, a lot of spring sports getting ready to kick off. You know, basketball still kind of struggling. They did get a win the other day.
They beat Cal. Come on,
that was nice. That was nice. It's a program building year.
Exactly.
There. So, man, but yeah, lots of stuff to be excited about coming up with that. But go ahead.
I was just gonna say, like, with baseball, you know, you look at when Link first got here, and immediately he recognized, oof, we need to overhaul this entire roster. They go to the College World Series. They literally break our hearts in the Super Regional in Corvallis there. Gosh darn it. This year, you look at this team, and you can legitimately look at this team and say, this is a national title competitive
contending
team.
At least
contending like they just look the part. They got the arms, obviously they've got the bats, and it'll be all about getting it all together. I'm literally going to be watching from opening pitch to the last pitch of the season. Like, I'm tuning into every single game that I can find on the television. I can't wait, and I can't wait for Lonnie and the softball team. They're always contending, you know. I'd love to get back to the College World Series again. I think they got the team as well too, so really excited for that, and congratulations to the opening lacrosse team as well.
And last thing on baseball, man, it's just the way football's been lately and the way baseball's been, I've almost become as much of a baseball fan as anything. And like you said, man, they've got some big pieces to replace because they got gutted by the draft, but they've brought in some pretty good pieces. Obviously got to replace Jamie Arnold, which is never easy. And, you know, had they not lost Evan Kress last year, and if you know, the pitcher who never pitched.
Yeah, the pitcher who would have been available. Yeah.
Right, would have been available. I think we probably could have handled Corvallis too. So, man, I'm just – now that they got some depth and stuff, and again, we're going to preview that coming up, but, man, I'm excited about what they can do. But the last thing before we jump into this schedule is, of course, you guys know we could not do what we do without Alumni Hall FSU. So that is today's sponsor, our title sponsor. 1415 Timber Lane Road in Tallahassee is the location, or you can shop online at alumnihall.com. Look, man, if you're trying to save some money for the new year, they got 2 for $38 t-shirts there. They got some for baseball, for basketball, for football. They got all kinds of different stuff that you can find there. Most of my shirts are the 2 for $38 deals that I got. And you can also stack that code SPEAR on top of that to save 10%. So you can save yourself some money as well. So make sure you check out Alumni Hall FSU. Even when I talked to Kenny the other day, he's like, man, I never heard of Alumni Hall until I started listening to you guys. And now I started shopping there. So it really does mean a lot to us that you guys support them in our name and to help them stay along for the ride with us. So we greatly appreciate that. So Alumni Hall FSU, save 10% with code SPEAR. And Michael, let's jump into the schedule, man, because that is the title topic of this show. And so what we're going to do for you guys is we're going to do some overall thoughts, kind of 1,000-foot view on the actual layout of the schedule itself. And then I've spent about the past week or so, this is why the we didn't necessarily jump on it Monday night. Well, we got jobs too, so we had to work the day it came out. But we also wanted to take some time to look at maybe a very broad view of what the other teams have gained and lost a little bit, so we can kind of have a more than just a stab in the dark at what next year might look like. So we'll start with the overall thoughts, the layout and things like that. And, you know, I think the first thing that stands out to me, Michael, is program record 4 non-Saturday games this year. And, you know, this is a really mixed bag, right? I mean, first off, you got to say it includes 2 Friday night road games. Yay, that's not fun. I know the non-Saturday games are usually not ideal for fans, right? I've talked to this with the Charleston Seminole Club about how it's hard to get people to come out to their watch parties. You know, I was going to go to the Florida game until they dropped it the day after Thanksgiving. Now I can't go to that game. So it does change your plans. I mean, everybody plans on watching games on Saturdays. But I understand why they do it, right? Because they're trying to snag up some extra primetime slots on those Friday nights and the Monday night, the Labor Day game against SMU, because it's all about TV revenue. And so they're trying to gain some more money with eyes on TV sets by getting the nationally broadcasted game. You know, you're probably better served to play at 7:30 on ABC on a Friday night than, say, noon on ACC Network on a Saturday or something. So I get why they do it. It doesn't feel college footballish, right? And then there's also the fact of, if you're a Florida State fan, you also have to know that we went 0-4 in Friday or non-Saturday regular season games. The last 2 years, we went 0-4. Now, granted, we ain't winning many games on Saturdays either. They did, however, go 4-0 in non-Saturday regular season games in 22 and 23, and Mike Norvell is 4-5 overall in regular season non-Saturday games. So I don't love it. I understand why they did it. I think we also said, what, Miami got four non-Saturday games too. So it's kind of equal opportunity screwing by the ACC here. But, you know, man, that's the first thing I think that stands out to me.
Yeah, I mean, you hit it right on the nail. Like, as soon as I saw the schedule come out, I just couldn't believe. I was just like, are we literally doing this? They're going to give us four non-Saturday games. And for me, I get it. It's the ACC. And you're competing on Saturdays with the power too, with Big Ten and the SEC, and they have all the best time slots, all the best games, and you're trying to fit in the little weasley old ACC. And so, of course, to get more eyeballs, which means more advertising money, which means more revenue money, you need to find other ways to do that. And so I get it. Fridays, Thursdays, whatever. But dadgummit, what does that say about us? That says that we're MAC. We're the American Conference. We're these conferences that we are
Leon
now
Leon County High School.
Yeah, we're Leon County High School playing on a non-Saturday day. And Florida State is prime for four of them. Now, I know we'll talk about there's another school that's prime for as many of them as well, too. It's just frustrating to me.
Yeah.
Like, I want to wake up on a Saturday and get my day ready and associate it with sitting down, enjoying some games, and then being nervously anxious about the Florida State game. I don't want my Friday nights to be ruined by this team.
And, you know, it also changes travel plans. It puts you on a short week a lot of times. So from just a football perspective, it puts you at a disadvantage a lot of times. And we're going to talk about, you know, the layout of the schedule coming up. But, I mean, it does put you at a disadvantage in some of these. So now that we kind of talked about the non-Saturday games, I meant to do this before we started. But let me go ahead and throw the schedule up. For those of you, most of you have seen it by now because it has been out for almost a week. But let's just run through it real quick. So obviously you start August 29th at home with New Mexico State. Then you get another home game on Labor Day, Monday night, September the 7th versus SMU. You will go to a bye week after that before you travel to Tuscaloosa to take on Alabama on September the 19th. You follow that up with a home game versus Central Arkansas on September the 26th before another home game on October the 3rd against Virginia. Thank goodness it's not a Friday night game in Virginia again.
Oh, man.
But that is followed by a Friday night game at Louisville on a short week there. So that's not looking too good on October the 9th. Another back-to-back road game there at Miami on October the 17th. Bye week before Clemson at home on Halloween night. That should be a fun atmosphere in Doak. Then you got another pair of back-to-back road games. November the 7th at Boston College. Probably going to be a red bandana game there. November the 13th, a short week Friday night at Pitt. Then you get NC State. You're ending 25 or 26 the same way you end 25. You're just at home this time. So you get NC State on November the 21st and then Florida on November the 27th at home. So that rounds out your schedule. And so let's talk about looking at the layout of the schedule. We'll get a little bit more into that now. So one thing I do like about this schedule is you get the first four of your five games are at home.
Yeah.
You do get a couple extra days to prepare for SMU, who does not play in week zero. Right. So you get that kind of tune-up game against New Mexico State. Then you get a couple extra days to prepare for SMU. It'll be their first game. Maybe you can jump on them like you did Alabama last year, who was their first game. So I do kind of like that. I also like that you get a bye week before Alabama to kind of get an extra chance to prepare for that game. They do not have a bye before you. They play, I think, a Cupcake and then Kentucky.
Right.
And so I do kind of like that, right? But what that tells me when you look at that first couple of weeks for the season, and we're going to talk about this when we get into the game-by-game breakdown, man, you really, really need to win that SMU game. Because if you start 2-2 with zero Power 4 wins, that's going to be tough, man. That's going to be a tough setup for the season. And the thing is with Alabama, it's like, I'm not saying it's impossible to beat Alabama, but you haven't won a road game in 2 years. You think the first one I'm going to pick for them to win is in Tuscaloosa against Alabama? Probably not. So that SMU game, in essence, is the Bama game from last year. Like, you got to win that game. And so I do, again, like I said, I'll throw it back to you, but I do like that you get your first four out of five at home. You get a little bit of extra time for SMU. You get a bye week before Bama, and you get a bye week before Clemson. So those are the things that I do like. Those are some of the positives. So I'll throw it back to you and just kind of give me an idea of maybe some things that you do like about the schedule.
Yeah, I do like, I love the, I've always been a big fan of the week zero game. I love being able to open up the season and getting something under your belt. You know, obviously in 22, they opened up the year and then was able to play, you know, LSU later, right? And that was a huge thing for us to, no one expected us to win that game. But the reason, one of the big reasons why we won that game was because we had that opening week, that opening game against
Duquesne,
right? And so now here we are in that same scenario. Now, we've had the scenario before where we went to Dublin and played Georgia Tech and then came back home to play a Boston College game on Labor Day and we stunk it up. So I'm hoping that this year we see a repeat of what we did in 2022, where we're at home, we get to play New Mexico State, we win, we feel good, we kind of work out some of the kinks, and then SMU's coming in, first game of the season, and we get to jump on them and win. And then we get to get an additional week to get prepped for our first road game against Bama, giving us hopefully maybe a chance to win that game. I really do like that. I like the fact that if you are able to somehow, okay, if you're able to somehow come out of that four-game stretch of New Mexico State, SMU, by Bama, and then Central Arkansas, I know we're going to get to. But if you're some able way to come out of that 3-1 and by Lord willing 4-0, man, you're talking about a whole different attitude from the fan base. If you come out of that 2-2 with both your losses against Power Four teams, that just – It will make that Virginia game kind of like the fork in the road.
Yeah, you're right. It will. I mean, I you cannot come out of that stretch 2-2. You have to be 3-1 at a minimum. Really going into that Louisville, and we're going to talk about all this later, but you know, getting into that Louisville Miami back to back, that's a tough ask. You know, I think you really need to be 4-1 going into that if you want to have a hope for a decent season.
Yeah.
You know, if you come out of it worse than that, you're going to be in trouble. Now, the things I don't really like about this schedule, Miami does get a bye week before us again this year.
Again.
Pitt will also get a bye week before us, and you'll be coming you'll be going to Pittsburgh on a short week. So they get an extra week, and you get 6 days. Like, we were talking about this before the show. If I'm Mike Norvell in Florida, I'm not even coming back to Tallahassee between that trip to Boston College and the short week to Pitt. I'm going to find a place to stay up there. Just so you, why waste 2 days of travel? It doesn't make any sense. So that I don't like. But, you know, man, the other things I don't like is about the schedule is you got back-to-back road games against Louisville on a short week and then Miami.
Yep.
That's going to be a really tough ask, right? And then, again, as I mentioned, you also have back-to-back road games against BC, which is your farthest road game, and then Pitt, which is another long-distance road game, and it's on a short week. So those are the things that I don't really care for about the schedule. But, you know, man, it's – I mean, you're going to have to win a road game at some point. You know what I mean? But the bye weeks before us and the back-to-back road trips that are two of your toughest games and then two of your longest road trip games, that's the main thing that stands out to me that I don't like about the schedule.
Yeah. Well, what I don't like about the schedule is, and so my smallest gripe is I would have preferred that Central Arkansas game get to the middle of the schedule or at least after NC State, just to give yourself a little bit of a reprieve. You know, you kind of can take that week a little bit lighter. And then before you play the Florida game, which is on a Friday, Black Friday. So I don't like that, but that's not. Obviously, my number one gripe is that we have to play four non-Saturday games. My second gripe, and the thing that if I see Jim Phillips, I'm going to give him a dirty eye. He may not even know I'm looking at him, but I'm going to give him a stink eye in the scheduling crew, is how in the world do you schedule Florida State to go to Boston, Massachusetts, and then on a short week have to then travel to Pittsburgh?
Yeah,
that's like a middle finger to Florida State from the ACC, basically. And I agree with you. If I'm Mike Norvell, I'm keeping them in Pittsburgh. We're leaving Boston College after that game, likely, like you said, like probably maybe a red bandana game. And we're staying somewhere in Pitt. We're going to Pitt Community Technological College. We're renting their football field, and we're just living out there. Because why? Why would you do that? You erase days with travel days. You erase practice time. You erase prep time. Like, it's just as it. I that just frustrates the a lot out of me. And then the other thing I don't like about the schedule is your back-to-backs both are happening on short weeks to a long week, meaning the Louisville to Miami, you're playing Louisville on a Friday after coming off of a Saturday game. So you have a short week to play Louisville after Virginia. Then you play Miami on Saturday. And you play Clemson on Saturday at home. Then you go to next Saturday at Boston College, short week to Friday at Pitt. Like, I just don't like the way they combine that. That's just a lot of body turnover and unscheduling that I think will affect these players.
Yeah, like I would have, like I told you when we were talking pre-show, I would have probably loved to see that Central Arkansas game between Louisville and Miami. Let us split that,
right,
and then maybe even move that bye week. Like you couldn't have went Boston College on the road, then Clemson at home, then a short week to Pitt. Like you couldn't have just thrown us a bone in a little way. So yeah, I definitely agree with that. But you know, my final thought before we go into the game by game breakdown here is, I don't care what anybody says. And I've seen the comment section where I posted the schedule graphic, and people think this is a non-FSU fans think this is a cake schedule. This is not a cake schedule.
This is not a cake schedule.
This is a hard schedule, even without Notre Dame. I mean, thank goodness we got rid of them, but this was already going to be a hard schedule. I mean, you just look at it. You have eight teams that were bowl teams last year, finished with a winning record out of the 12. You had three teams that won 10 games last year. You had two playoff teams. You have six teams in the ACC last year that finished 6-2 or better in the conference, and you play four of them this year. Only four teams on your schedule had a losing record last year, and two of those were the cupcake teams that you should have won anyway. So basically your entire schedule outside of two teams, Boston College and I forget who else, were bowl teams last year. And so, I mean, this is a hard schedule. And then especially when you look at that road slate, man, I mean – I hate to say it, but Florida State might legitimately go 1-4 on the road this year when you look at that road slate, because it's just tough, man. That schedule is not doing you any favors. And so miss me with this is an easy schedule. Now, let me also say this. Now, at a program like Florida State, you should not be scared of road games at Pitt. You should not be scared of Louisville. You should not be scared of any of these SMU coming to your house. You should not be scared of that. But when we're in the current situation that we're in and we haven't won a road game in 2 years, it does make you worry about where this team's going to end up at the end of the year. And we'll do some way too early predictions towards the end of the show, but man, this is not an easy schedule.
No, and concern is in the eye of the beholder. Meaning,
right.
Yes, historically at Florida State, this schedule should be like, bring it on. We about to dominate. We about to run roughshod through this.
Bama and Clemson and Miami should be the only ones
that you're
have.
Like, okay, that might be good, but everything else we're winning. But like you said, based on the current climate of Florida State, based on the trajectory that this program has gone over the last 2 years, based on the trajectory that this head coach has had in his tenure here, right? Yes, concern is in the eye of the beholder, and we are concerned because we don't necessarily believe that this is a great team walking into the season, and now you've given them a difficult and it's not the team necessarily. Yes, they're goods. But it's more so the timing of each game and where it's landing on the schedule that gives you more of the concern, especially the road games when this team has been 0-10 on the road in their last 10 games. And Mike Norvell is 10-18 in his career at Florida State on the road.
Yeah, and you don't really have any give-me's other than the two bad games and maybe Boston College. Like, every team was pretty darn okay last year, at least made a bowl. And so, you know, I don't want to be completely negative and dump on every on this team constantly. But man, it's going to be a tough ask for this team to have a good season. And so I hope they surprise, right? I really do. But man, so let's jump into a quick game by game breakdown. We're going to go through all of these. But before we do that, Michael, if you guys are watching this and you're enjoying the content that we bring here at Plant the Spear, man, I normally do this at the end of the show, but I'm sneaking in a little bit earlier. First off, I want to say thank you to all of our listeners and subscribers. We did pass 2,800 with the last episode. So I really, really appreciate you guys for that. Man, it would mean the world to us if we could hit that 3,000 mark before the season gets here. I would love for that. So if you're watching this, drop that like and subscribe, hit that rate and review on the podcast, tell a friend, tell a neighbor, check and make sure you're subscribed just in case you're not and you think you are. It would mean the world to us. It's completely free. It doesn't sign you up for anything. So just check on that because, man, 3,000 would mean a lot to us. But again, kudos to you guys for getting us past 2,800. We couldn't do it without you. So let's jump into a quick game-by-game breakdown of the schedule. And so the first one we're going to breeze right on through. It's New Mexico State. You're at home. Look, they went 4-8 last year. This is the team that replaced Notre Dame for you. They lost 42-9 to Tennessee last year. So you know, this isn't quite like as bad as Kent State. This isn't an FCS program. So, you know, maybe it's not a 70-7 type of win, but at the same time, this is a game that you should come into with all offseason to prepare, and you should blow them out.
Yeah.
There's not really much else to say about a New Mexico State game. So if you're good with it, I think we'll just fast forward to that SMU game. So you get SMU Labor Day, Monday night, September the 7th, at home in your place. SMU went 9-4 last year. But here's the interesting thing, man. So the reason I kind of wanted to go through each one of these teams and just get a broad view is to really be like, okay, is it as bad as I really think it is, right? Or can we win some of these games? And, man, I think this SMU game is going to be the most pivotal game of the season, because if you lose this game, it's going to really feel like doom and gloom right off the bat, right? But I started looking at SMU, and we know they've done good, right, under Rhett Lash. They played for an ACC championship their first year in the ACC. They won the AAC their last year there. They went 9-4 last year, but they did go 3-3 on the road last year.
Yes, they did.
And those three road wins was a 28-10 win at Missouri State, who was a 7-6 team that lost 73-13 to USC. So they kind of skated by in that one. They did beat Clemson, but Klubnik did not play in that game because he was hurt.
I remember that game. Yep.
And then their third win on the road was Boston College, who was 2-10.
Right.
So they didn't really have an impressive road record last year when you look at kind of what they did and how they won those games and who they beat. They also have lost their first Power Four game that they played the last four consecutive years. Now, two of those were in the AAC, so they have typically gotten off to an 0-1 start against Power Four teams. Now, the bad part is Kevin Jennings will be back, their starting quarterback. I think this is year two or three as a starter for him, so he is going to be back. But they did lose a pretty good bit. They lost their leading rusher, two of their top three receivers, some offensive linemen. They did sign Randy Pittman. They lost basically their entire defensive line. They got all their linebackers back and a couple of pieces out of the secondary they did lose too. They have the number 22 transfer class. So to me, I look at this, man, you get a tune-up game. You get a couple extra days to prepare. SMU's coming in with some new pieces. They at least do have the quarterback. They haven't been excellent on the road. There's no reason Florida State shouldn't win this game. And so I'm actually feeling a little positive about Florida State starting 2-0. Now, if you lose this, it's a major red flag, 100%. But going into a bye, nothing to worry about on the backside with a tune-up game, and it's their first game in, I think Florida State can get off to a 2-0 start.
Yeah, listen, you know, SMU, yeah, they're coming. This is their first game of the season. Florida State obviously has the week zero game. You like it there. You like where the game is scheduled. When we were looking kind of at the schedule prior to them releasing the schedule, we felt like this is going to be an ACC game. I think at the time we were projecting maybe Louisville might be there, if I remember correctly. So you like it there. Here's the thing. It's hard for me to say that Florida State can win this game. And the reason being is because SMU is a good team. Yes, they're 3-3 on the road last year, so they did struggle. But they beat some good teams last year. They went 9-4. They went 6-2 in the ACC. Florida State hasn't beat outside of what Wake Forest last year and Alabama. That was your only two decent teams that you beat last year. They haven't proven to me that they can win at a consistent rate against good teams. So for me, I need to see it. I need to see it. And until I see it, with Kevin Jennings coming back, Rhett Lashley is a great coach, great offensive mind. You know they're going to want to add on to that 42-16 butt whooping we took down there in Dallas. I don't know if you get this win. And I would agree with you that this SMU win right here literally tells you the direction of this program for the season. I'm just not sure. So
now I'm not making a prediction saying we're guaranteed. It's way too early for all that.
It's way too early for that. Yeah.
But the more I looked into this SMU game, the more I'm like, okay, I could see a 2-0 start here. I mean, you never know. Now, the one thing that did make me nervous is I always try and look for, like, the rosy part of things. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, maybe we can run the ball on them. And they were, like, top 20 in rush defense last year. And I was like, well, you know what? They played against some bad teams, too. Let's filter that for Power Four. Oh, they're still 24th in rush defense. So I don't love that. I don't love that. But, again, man, I think you can probably win that game. You should win that game in your place. But we'll see if it happens. There's no guarantee. Yeah. So then after that, you do get a bye week. And then you got to go to Alabama. And this is going to be a tough one, man. They went 11-4 last year, did make the playoffs. And really, like, you could stop the tape right here, right? Mm. So we already talked about Florida State hasn't won a road game in 2 years. Under Kalen DeBoer, Alabama is 13-1 at home and 7-7 outside of Bryant-Denny. Mm. So they have had a much harder time winning on the road than they have at home. Their one loss is to Oklahoma last year, who was also a playoff team. Mm. So, man, it's just – or I think it was 2 years ago when they lost to Oklahoma at home. So it's tough, man, to go into a place where they're 13-1 under Kalen DeBoer and you haven't won a road game in 2 years. Now, they do have – you won't get the element of surprise this year because they do play two games before you play them, so they will have time to work some of the kinks out, unlike they did last year. And Florida State gets two games in a bye week, too. So you have that chance as well. But you know they're going to be looking for revenge. The mm-hmm. one thing that kind of tweaked my attention to this Alabama game, they lost a lot. And when I say a lot, I mean a lot. Just to run through, they lost starting quarterback, leading rusher, two of top three receivers, including Jeremy Bernard, who's the one that went off for you last year, starting tight end, entire starting offensive line, all but one starting defensive end on the D-line. They do get some rotational guys back. They lost all three starting linebackers, starting quarter or cornerback. That team has been gutted from last year. Mm. Now, they do have the number 46 transfer class, but they only took 17 guys. They did have a top five high school class, but those guys are going to be young. The other thing I look at is Bama did only beat Auburn 27-20 last year. It was on the road in Jordan-Hare, but Ashton Daniels put up 367 total yards against Alabama last year at Auburn, and that's including Auburn dropping seven passes. But again, I just come back to, man, like the problem is Florida State hasn't won a road game in 2 years, and do I really think they're going to break that streak by upsetting Alabama in Tuscaloosa?
Right.
It feels like a stretch, but maybe Gus, the elephant hunter himself, has some more magic up his sleeve that he can upset Alabama, but it's going to be a tough ass to go in there and beat them at a place they play really, really well when you haven't been able to win on the road. But they have lost a ton. So hear me just at least say, I'm not going to do this as like a 99-1 Florida State's getting blown out. They lost a lot. So we'll see how this game plays out.
You know, here's the thing for me. Unless your name is unless you are Florida or Georgia, Mike Norvell is undefeated against you in the SEC.
Yeah.
Think about that. LSU and Alabama. Mike Norvell can beat you.
Any SEC team on the schedule sweating bullets.
Exactly.
When Mike Norvell comes to town.
Exactly. When we play SEC team with Mike Norvell coming somewhere, they're like, oh gosh, here we go again. So that alone gives me hope. I'm trying to be positive. That alone gives me hope that we could walk into Bryant-Denny Stadium and pull a big upset. I would call it a big upset. I imagine that Florida State's probably going to go in that game. I imagine that the spread right now, I'm just guessing, is probably going to be somewhere between 7.5 to 8.5.
Ooh, I'd put it 13.5.
You think so?
Yeah, buddy, because it's on the road.
I know. But it's Mike Norvell. I'm just saying that Vegas might say, you know what? I'm going to put Florida State in a touchdown kind of thing. That being said, it is a road game. And Florida State has not won a road game in 2 years. They're 0-10 in the last 10 road games. They're 10-18. Mike Norvell's career. This is Bryant-Denny Stadium. Kalen DeBoer is really good at home. Obviously, unless your name is Oklahoma, he will beat you at home. I think they'll go in prepared, regardless of what happens with that SMU game. Unless it's a complete blowout and they lose by blowout fashion, I do believe they'll go into that game highly focused. Mike Norvell has the ability to get them up for games. We've seen it every year for these crazy one-off games that they get up, they're focused, they're attentive. So I'm not going to say that's an automatic win, but I'm also not saying it's a loss either.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you know, the thing is, you can say like Bama's going to be out blood, you know, for blood and all that for revenge. But there's also something about walking into a game where like, hey, guys, we literally throttled them last year. And so you have that little bit of confidence in you from last year. And so we'll see, man. I mean, it would be massive. Again, you know, the ACC coaches sit back and sip some sweet tea in a lawn chair when Mike Norvell comes to town. But SEC coaches, man, they're sweating bullets. So it will be interesting to see what they can do. And, you know, man, again, don't let us get off to like a 4-0 start.
I mean, it would, let that, us.
That would be crazy. And you know what? Maybe we need Ashton Daniels or Kevin Spear, whoever's going to be the quarterback. Just go ahead and do a little chirping like Tommy did. You know, get in their head a little bit. Maybe that's the secret.
They can't beat me.
Exactly. Someone go ahead. Saban ain't here to save them no more. So maybe that's the key. But the next game here is September the 26th against Central Arkansas. They were 3-9 FCS team last year. They lost 61-6 versus Mizzou. This is the game you should walk all over them. The only thing that makes me nervous is this is where Mike Norvell played college football and, you know, is where he coached football. We already lost to that team in Memphis. This is an entirely different team than Memphis. I say that tongue in cheek. This is where the picture of cornrow Mike came from was Central Arkansas. So he must just be throwing his old teams a bone by paying them to play. But again, this is a 3-9 FCS team. You should walk all over them. So I think we can probably just skip on through to the UVA game. And speaking of looking for revenge, it is going to be looking for revenge against UVA after that double overtime thriller last year where you were a few inches, a bobbled catch away from beating them. It wouldn't have been an upset at the time. But you look, October 3rd, UVA comes to town. They went 11-3 last year. They're coming off their best season in 37 years. But this is the best season in 37 years where you couldn't beat Duke in the ACC championship game. You had four overtime games or a double overtime game. So they kind of skated through to get to there. Can they repeat that success without Chandler Morris? That's the big thing because, frankly, man, that kid was a baller last year. Now, I know he had a couple of picks in our game, but between his legs and his arm, man, I mean, he was the problem last year, right? He ate us up on a lot of things. And so they did sign Bo Pribula from Missouri, who's got some wheels, but probably not quite the guy that Chandler Morris was. So they do have a quarterback. They're not just bringing somebody out of nowhere. But they also lost some of their top receivers. They bring back most of the guys on the offensive line, lost a few pieces on defense, number 38 transfer class per 247. They do play NC State and West Virginia before they play FSU, which is super weird, man. The NC State game, they're playing that game in Brazil.
Yeah, I saw that. That's wild.
Super weird. But so you'll have an idea of who Virginia is by the time they get to Tallahassee. And so, you know, again, man, this is a game that I feel like Florida State should win at home, right? You're coming off of an FCS game, so you should have a little bit of winning momentum going into this one. You should be looking for a little bit of that payback. This was one of their best teams they've had in the last four decades last year, and it still took double overtime at home on a short week for them to beat you. So I'm not saying it's impossible to lose this game, but I'm saying Florida State should beat Virginia at home.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Virginia is 1-9 in Doak Campbell Stadium. 1-9, right? We don't lose to Virginia at Doak Campbell Stadium. We lose to Virginia at Virginia when we're ranked in the top 10. That's how
we go ahead and knock down some wood.
Go ahead. I got that wood right here, right?
Yeah.
We shouldn't lose to this game. And this is again, depending on
we also don't beat Virginia in Charlottesville on Friday night. So, works both ways, right? It does.
It does. But what I'm saying is, depending on where you're coming in on the schedule here, right? So if you're coming into this game either 3-1, then you're feeling good about yourself. You're coming in this game 2-2, and both your losses are Bama and SMU. You are probably FSU fan is nervous out of the wazoo because this is, to me,
you got to win.
This is it right here. Yeah. If you lose SMU, okay. You lose Bama. Oh. But you lose this game, this is the game that I believe. This is just Michael. If you lose this game, that's it. Literally, you coming off the field to a meeting with the Power Three, you're signing your termination letter, and you're done.
Yep.
You've got to win this game because that puts you at 2-3 on the season, and it's Virginia. We don't even know who their quarterback is. Do you know who their quarterback's going to be for this?
Bo Pribula from Missouri.
Pribula. Yeah. So, like, you don't even know how good he's going to be. You don't know if they're going to be able to repeat the magic. They had the most luck. If there was a luck factor rating,
oh my gosh,
they would have been number one in the nation last year. I mean, it was ridiculous, right? So you should have won that game last year. You think you have somewhat of a decent team again this year. You should win the game at home this year as well. That's just kind of my perspective of that game.
Yeah, you got to have it. Now, I think you're right. I think you could see a firing happen there if it goes that way, right? If you're 2-3. I move it about 2 weeks later to the bye week depending on how these next couple games we're going to talk about go. But you got to win that Virginia game. You've got to win it, especially if you lose either SMU or Bama. Like, you've got to start winning these games. You got to win. My biggest key for this whole season is win the winnables.
Yeah.
And win a freaking road game, man. Like, you can't keep losing to these teams. But again, like I said, last year in their best season in 40 years, it took a short week in double overtime on Friday night with all the bad juju, the anniversary Beat game, you. All that stuff, for them to win on, because Deuce bobbled the ball right
yep.
at the end.
Yep.
You should win this game at home. Now, let's talk about the next two games, which I think is the Bama's probably going to be the hardest game on the yeah. schedule going there, or Miami. But I think this is the hardest stretch that you got right here. And unfortunately, I think this could be an 0-2 stretch when you're talking about going to Louisville on a Friday night on October the 9th and then backing that up with Miami. But we'll talk about Louisville first. So Louisville did go 9-4 last year. We know they beat Miami. And you're going to get this one on a Friday night. At least you will be coming off a home game. So it's, you know, the short week is not as detrimental, but it's still a short week. Now, they did beat James Madison at home last year, and they blew out Kentucky 41-0.
Yeah, they did.
But here's the other thing. They went 1-3 in ACC play last year, and two of those losses did come in overtime. But their only ACC home win was 2-10 Boston College last year. So it's not like this is some giant that you cannot slay at whatever they call Papa John, L&N, whatever their pizza stadium is now, Pizza Cardinal Stadium, whatever it is. It's not an impenetrable force that you just can't defeat, right? And, hey, last time we played up there on a Friday night, which was the last time we played them, we won the Tate yes, Rodemaker game.
Yes, we did.
So hopefully, you know, hopefully they also put a quarterback or a cornerback on our 6'6" receiver this year and don't give him any safety help, and we'll just eat that up again, because that's what cost them in 2022. Now, they did lose their leading passer, Miller mm-hmm. Moss, who wasn't mm-hmm. great for them, and mm-hmm. they lost their backup. So they are starting over at quarterback. They lost their top two receivers, but they did sign Wheezy. We know that, LaWayne McCoy. So that's going to be, you know, I wonder if he's going to circle that game like Brownlee did. And then you also, they do return their top two running backs, which I don't like. But they lost a couple of offensive linemen, lost a couple of defensive linemen. But they got, you know, they got number five portal class. And the thing is, when you replace a quarterback, man, that guy is just a freaking quarterback whisperer there, the head coach.
He
that
is.
Guy.
And
so Jeff Brohm, he's just an offensive mastermind. And so I'm not saying you can't go up there and win at L&N Stadium in Louisville, because, again, you're talking about a team that only beat Boston College out of the ACC at home last year. It's not impossible to beat them. But on a short week on a Friday night, man, it's going to be tough. And so we'll have to see how they kind of shake out a little bit before we get there. And, I mean, they're going to start with Ole Miss. They're going to have SMU. They're going to have at NC State before we play them, and Wake Forest. So you'll have a pretty good idea. They will be challenged before they get to that Florida State game. So you'll have an opportunity to kind of know what you're going to get out of Louisville. But, man, that's going to be that's a tough ask. That's Louisville's a team that – it's weird, man. They're kind of like NC State, right? They're never really great, but they're also never really that bad either. Yeah, and they can beat anybody on any Saturday – maybe not Friday. They upset Miami last year. So, again, this is a game that I do worry about being on a short week on the road.
Yeah, yeah. I any of the Friday games on the road is always just going to give you trepidation to that. Now, Louisville's schedule is interesting. So, there, I was trying to look back real quick just for a second. Give me a second here. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay, so this is the third team that Florida State will play that will have a 9-game ACC schedule, okay? And for Louisville, this is actually more tricky than what it perceives to be.
Yeah.
They play Ole Miss at a neutral site at Nissan Stadium in Nashville. Okay, number 9, Ole Miss. So, obviously, depending on what Ole Miss gets back at quarterback, you know, we'll see how they are. They get Villanova Wildcats. That's an easy dub. Then they have SMU coming to their stadium, L&N Stadium, the 17th rank. Then they got Wake Forest coming in. Then they do their first away game, like true road game at NC State. Then they have us coming in. So they could be coming into this game, let's say at worst, with two losses to two Power Four teams already. So that could also be in the play as well, too, on a Friday night if they're desperate for a win. I think that plays in that factor as well, too. Florida State is 18-16 all time against Louisville. 7-3 Florida State on the road at Louisville. So they've won more than they've lost there, which is good, obviously. You know, again, Jeff Brohm is a QB whisperer, as you say. He's really good at getting the most out of his quarterbacks there. But I also remember that they had a good QB. We had no QB, and we still whooped their butts in the ACC championship game. Let's not let them forget that.
Should Mike Norvell just automatically play the backup quarterback against Louisville?
Listen,
because every time he plays them with the backup, he wins.
He wins. He did lose one game to them. I think he's 2-1 against them total, I believe. I might be wrong on that, but I think he's 2-1 against them. They won the Tate Rotemaker game, and then they won the Brockton game in the ACC championship. So this game does not scare me as much. I'm not saying they win. I'm not saying they lose. I'm just saying this road game doesn't scare me as much. This could be potentially where they get their first road victory.
Yeah, and Mike Norvell, for what it's worth, is 2-2. Smoked in 2020.
That's right.
We barely lost in Tallahassee in 2021, and then we won the last two. But, the other thing that you mentioned that's interesting, right, is when you look at that Louisville game, you know, they are going to be coming off a road game. Now, it's not far from Raleigh to Louisville, but it still means travel for them.
And we know what it's like to play in Raleigh.
Right, and you do have a common opponent before you play. So you can kind of gauge how you did against SMU, how you both did against SMU.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, again, it's not – I mean, they got a number 5 portal class per 247. So they got some pieces coming in to help them. But, man, like you said, it's not an impenetrable force. They were 1-3 in ACC play at home, like I said last year, and the only win was Boston College. So I think you can go up there and win that game. I'm not so confident in the next one. That's the one – like, I hate to even talk about this game, man. October 17th, you got to back that up by going to Miami, who was 13-3 last year, obviously national runner-ups. They are coming off a bye week before then. Now, you do play Friday, so that does give you a couple extra days to prepare for, or an extra day or two to prepare for Miami. But, you know, Miami does what they do again. They buy and pay for success, and they tamper to get what they want. And the NCAA is just, you know, as invisible as their ACC Toothless. Championship trophy.
Exactly.
So you look at what worries me again, man, is like they got Mensa from Duke, who was a I went and looked at the stats last year, and I was like, okay, that's not good. They also poached Duke's top wide receiver, who put up 1,000 yards last year. They bring back Malachi Toney. They bring back Mark Fletcher. They got the number 4 transfer class per 247. What worries me more about that game this year is, you know, we were talking about this before the show, is last year Miami's offense was just it was enough, right? Yeah. It could get you 28 points, but their defense was so good that that's all they really needed. This year, that offense could probably put up 40 points because they just got the horses to do it. And that's what worries me the most, because I'm most worried about our defense this year. But at the end of the day, man, you lose Bain. You lose Mezidor. You lose Keontae Scott, one of your top corners. You lose Jacoby Thomas, one of your top safeties. You lose Wesley Bethanes, one of your top linebackers. And, you know, it's like we were talking about, man. When anytime you lose a game-changing guy like Bain or Mezidor, you know, you lose Versen Fisk. You think you replace them with some good guys who are good on paper. It doesn't always mean it's going to work out like that, because there are only so many of those first, second round draft pick type of guys. They don't grow on trees.
Right.
So, I mean, they did a good job in replacing them. I'll give them credit for that. And their defensive coordinator, I hope, gets a head coaching job very soon. It's not always easy to replace guys like that. So we're going to see how that goes. They also did lose Keelan Mary and CJ Daniels and 3 starting offensive linemen. So they got a couple of questions up front. You know, maybe they take a step back in the trenches. Feels like they're taking a step forward at the skill positions. That's going to be a really, really tough game, especially with them coming off a bye weekend. And looking at the schedule, man, I think the only game that they might lose before then would be at Clemson 2 weeks before FSU. So they're probably going to be coming into that game undefeated, 4-1, you know, maybe 3-2 at the absolute worst. So it's, you know, if Florida State can handle this business, this could be a very high profile game. I'm not confident we go down to Hard Rock and beat them just because of what they did in the portal and the offense that they should have. But you know what, man, again, rivalry games, strange stuff happens, and I hate Miami. So, you know, I'm not going to pick them to win anyway. That's going to be a tough one. That's probably, honestly, you know, at Bama's hard, but man, I think with what Miami has and with what Bama lost and where you're catching them, I think this is probably your hardest game on the schedule.
Man, yeah. Here's the thing with Miami. You know, going back to what you kind of said earlier, when you look back at what Florida State did against Miami at when Miami came here, was that Miami got up 28-3. It was because Florida State came in with the idea that we're going to stop the run. We're going to make Carson Beck beat us over the top. And that was the second worst performance of our defensive backfield. I think Pitt is probably number one. That was the second worst performance. But the crazy thing was that game, the game score doesn't look that bad because Florida State was able to rattle off 20-something points in the fourth quarter. You can argue whether or not Miami took their foot off the gas and blah, 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 whatever, okay? Fact of the matter is Florida State stopped that running game, and then Carson Beck had to win the game through the air, and that's what they did because our DBs just sucked that game, okay? Coming into this game, they're having to replace a significant amount of people. Obviously, the defensive line with Bain and Mezzador gone, but then also on the offensive line. They do have a few linemen that are coming back that have had significant snaps, but they're still having to replace really good production there. Yeah. Also, this is going to be the third year, Jesse, that they've gone with a mercenary at quarterback. One-year rental, right? Ward, Beck, and now Mensah. And I'm not saying that he's not good. He is good. I watched him play against Clemson, and he made some incredible throws. But he also is prone to making the dumbest throws I've ever seen in my lifetime, okay? Just so you know. So I'm just saying that there is a possibility that, you know, third time's a charm, and they actually strike out. Mensah is not as good as what they all thought he was going to be. You look at his stats at Duke. Yes, he 4,000 plus yards. They get the 1,000-yard receiver that comes with him as well. They also have Tony back. They get Fletcher back. Yes, you would say, oh, this is a game. I would say is that, yes, this game is going to be incredibly hard. Not because of the home field advantage they get. Hard Rock is an absolute dump, and there's fans show up late. They're terrible fans anyways. It's not going to be because of the crowd noise or the home field. It's going to be purely because of the talent on the other side of the ball. Offense, defense, and special teams there. You're always good for a Mario Cristobal mess up. You can count on that somewhere in the game. I don't think this is going to be a massive blowout, but I do understand the trepidation around this game as well, too.
Yeah, I mean, Miami's usually good for dropping one in October. And maybe this will be it. And that's the thing. I mean, right now, I wouldn't say that I'm confident we're going to win. But, you know, again, in a rivalry game, anything goes. And even when you look at Duke last year, they kind of backed their way into that ACC championship. And I know Mensah was probably the best player and the receiver was the best player on that team, and they got it. But I mean, you go back and look at some of their schedule, and it's like they had Elon, Illinois, Tulane they lost to, NC State, Syracuse without their starting quarterback, Cal, Georgia Tech they lost, Clemson, UConn, Virginia, North Carolina. Wait, they had a kind of a easy schedule last year. And so we'll see. Now, Miami has a relatively easy schedule this year. They got a road game at Clemson and a road game at Notre Dame. They got Florida State at home. Other than that, that's not a really hard schedule. So we'll see how it plays out. I mean, again, in a rivalry game, anything can go. I worry because the offense has reloaded in a way. Now, we'll see how the line looks, but that's what worries me is now their defensive coordinator, I think, has a lot to do with why they were so good because they had Bain and Mezzador, you know, in 24, too, and they were okay. The defense wasn't very good. So I think he's kind of the X factor there, but I don't think they're unbeatable, right? No. They did lose two regular season games last year. So, man, there's nothing to say that they can't lose a regular season game again this year.
Yeah, and then quickly, like, here's the thing. He was a $4 million quarterback at Duke. And $4 million at Duke, there was pressure of like, okay, is he worth $4 million? But it's still Duke. No one really cared. He's a $10 million quarterback at Miami. That's a whole different level of pressure that he's going to have to, you know, work against this season.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. So we'll see, man. And then you go to a bye week after that before – Clemson at home on Halloween. Now, this is going to be a fun game. This is one that when we look at the schedule for next year, I'm not sure where we're going to be, but I do know for this game, I am already locked in. Your boy will be in Tallahassee for the Clemson game. So looking forward to that one. If you guys are making the travel plans down there, I would love to meet up with you guys for this game on Halloween. Going to be a great time. Clemson, we did go 7-6 last year. I mean, their worst season in 15 years. And so they got some questions to answer. I'm not going to sit here and say that Clemson's just an automatic L like it typically is, right? But the thing that slows me down on this game is Clemson has won 9 of the past 10 meetings.
Yep.
We also have not beat them in Tallahassee since 2014 in an overtime game with Sean McGuire quarterback, if that tells you how long ago it's been. But like I said, they are coming off the worst season they've had in 15 years. They lost a lot of games that they shouldn't have lost last year. They actually did sign 9 transfers, so Dabo did get in the portal, although the whole linebacker situation, which, by the way, should really get some people in trouble.
But won't.
Dabo's never going back to the portal after that. But, again, man, you look at what they lose Klubnik. They're losing their quarterback. Now, I know the Vinza kid or whatever his name is, he did get to play a little bit last year when Klubnik was out. They also lost their number one running back, their number two wide receiver, their starting center, and both tackles. They lost 2 starting defensive tackles, a starting defensive end who these are TJ Parker and the Woods kid. These are NFL type of guys. They lost starting linebacker, their top cornerback, 2 starting safeties. So they lost a ton of stuff off this team. Now, they have a lot. They've recruited well, so they have pieces to plug in there. But, I mean, you're losing some NFL talent off that defense, and you're replacing a guy who was your 3-year starter at quarterback. So we'll see how they rebound this season. They also do start the season at LSU, and then they get home against Miami before FSU. So, again, they will be tested again. You'll be able to kind of see how they are before you get to that game. You are coming off a bye before you play them, whereas they are not. So, again, man, I think this has – they're coming Virginia Tech at home before they go to Florida State. So the juju factor, which we always say is a big factor on the show with the Friday night games and all that crazy stuff, it is a factor. 9 out of the last 10, you haven't beat them here in over 10 years. But, man, Clemson's got a lot of questions to answer of them of their own right. They got a lot of pieces to replace. The magic seems to be falling off a little bit with Clemson and Dabo. And I know they just brought back and kind of recycled Chad Morris at offensive coordinator there, which I know a lot of Clemson fans are like, if this don't work, this might be what finally gets Dabo outed at Clemson. So, again, man, you're at home at least. You should have beat them last year on the road, but you didn't. But, again, that's Death Valley. That's totally different. It's going to be tough. Let's just put it that way. It's going to be tough because Clemson is still a program that in their worst season in 15 years still made a bowl.
Yeah.
And you didn't.
Yep.
So they're still pretty darn good. But this is not a game I think is unwinnable for Florida State.
Yeah. Yeah, here's the thing for me. You know how we always talk about when you go to NC State, you might as well just chalk that up as a loss?
Basically,
when you see that orange paw come up on the schedule, you might as well. I know I sound like a loser. I'm just saying, it's Clemson. 9 out of the last 10. 2014, Sean McGuire on what's his name? The running back that won the who was it? Carlos Williams on a Carlos Williams cutback run. Jameis Winston suspended. Right, for jumping on a cafeteria table telling somebody to do some weird things, right? Like we haven't won since then.
Hey, Jameis dressed out for that game.
He did
when he wasn't supposed to. Maybe he can dress out for this game.
They'll let him. They're letting everybody else come back to college, right? He's still got eligibility. Like, I mean, it's for me, it's just simple of like it's Clemson. I'm never gonna ever think Florida State's winning that game until they actually win it. Not because of Florida State could be undefeated the last 4 years, and I'm still walking to a Clemson game thinking it's going to be a loss just because it's just been so difficult. No matter how bad they've been or good they've been, it's been so difficult for us. Last year was one of the worst teams in the country. We had a chance to win in their home stadium, and we couldn't get it done. Like, to me, is where we're at right now.
There, it's always a tough out with Clemson, but, you know, I just think – again, like I said, it's not unwinnable at home with everything that they have to replace.
No, it's never unwinnable.
Yeah. Yeah, so I could see Florida State pulling that upset. It's just we're going to learn a lot about Clemson early on how they do. So we'll see. The next game here, talking about juju games on the road, is Boston College, November the 7th. Now, Boston College was butt cheeks last year. 2-10, looking really bad. Bill O'Brien is – I don't know how much longer he's going to be there, how much longer he wants to be there.
He looks miserable.
But again, this is probably going to be a cold game. It's probably going to be the freaking red bandana game. I don't want to talk bad about the red bandana game because of the reason why it exists, but that's just it's a hard place for us to win, man. There's nothing logically to explain why it's always so hard to win at Boston College, but it's always hard to win at Boston College. So you should win this game. And at 2-10, I think they were like 1-6 at home. So it's not like they were great at home anyway. They did lose their starting quarterback and their backup quarterback and their number one running back and their top two receivers and their number one tight end and four starting offensive linemen. They lost a bunch of stuff. Basically, their whole defensive line. They lost all their linebackers and a starting safety. So basically, Boston College is starting over from scratch this year. So it is probably going to be another bad year. They have the 62nd ranked transfer class in the country. Norvell is 3-1 versus Boston College and 2-0 in Chestnut Hill. I don't like that it's sandwiched between, you know, some of the road games that are, FSU is sandwiched between road games for Boston College. They go at Duke, at Georgia Tech, then FSU, then at Notre Dame. So you might catch them in a little bit of a road hangover as well. So I personally think this is going to be the one, and maybe it's Louisville, but I think this is going to be the one where Florida State finally snaps the road loss streak and gets a road win. And so I do think Florida State will handle their business at BC, red bandana or not. I do think they're going to win this game. It's just it might look ugly because it's in Chestnut Hill and weird things happen up there. But I do think Florida State should definitely win this game.
Of all the road games they have this year, this is the one that you put the most confidence in. And I will tell you that my confidence is at like 55%. Just because, again, they haven't won a road game. But if I'm going to put the most confidence in a road win, it's going to be this one. Like you said, Mike Norvell, 3-1. He owes a get back to Bill O'Brien, and a red bandana, yellow bandana. I'm grateful for the red bandana and what it stands for. I love that whole thing. But orange bandana, green bandana, you need to walk out of there with a W bandana.
Yeah. And, you know, I will say the one thing is I know the Stanford on the road makes you nervous because we can lose the bad teams on the road for sure. Mm-hmm. But at least last year, Wake Forest, Virginia Tech, like you beat the pants off some of the bad teams that you played. And so to me, this is one that Florida State should get a win in. But the next one is one that I do worry about, right? Mm-hmm. On a short week, November the 13th at Pitt, who went 8-5 last year. We know they beat you in your own stadium in Doak last year with a freshman quarterback making his first road start. And so that's what makes you a little bit nervous. And I, doing some research on this, man, I think Pitt is, I'm gonna label this the sneaky game, the sneaky hardest game on the schedule. It's not better. They're not better than Miami. They're not better than Alabama. But it's a short week. It's at Pitt. And they actually did not lose much, which is why I'm labeling that, right? They bring back that quarterback. They bring back their number one running back. They did lose their number two running back who was productive for them. They did lose their top two receivers, but they had some other guys who were productive as well. They also lost their top two tight ends and their starting center, but they returned 4 out of 5 offensive linemen. They only lost one starting D tackle. All other D linemen returned. They brought back they did lose two starting very good linebackers. So they're going to have to, you know, the one we tried to get and then another one transferred out. So they did lose two of their really good linebackers, two key corners. They also returned two and they lost 2 or 3 safeties. So they bring back a lot from that offense. They just lost a little bit on the defense, number 73 transfer class, and they get a bye before we go up there on a short week. You know, Florida State has won their past two trips to Pitt.
Yep.
But that was also 2013 with Jameis Winston and 2023 with Jordan Travis. So Florida State is able to win, but there's no Jordan or Jameis on the roster this year. So, man, it's going to be a tough ask. You know Pat Narduzzi always has a physical team. You're going to have to go up there and win a fist fight in a back alley. It's going to be hard on a short week. So are they beatable? Of course they are. Am I worried about this one just given they got a bye, you're on a short week, and you failed to beat them in Doak last year? Yes, I'm very much worried about this game. So to me, this is almost – I'm not going to call it a trap game because there's nothing like really ahead of it or behind it that would lead this to be a trap game. But to me, this is like one of the probably sneaky hardest games on the schedule.
Yeah, I mean, Florida State won the last two games at Heinz or Asher, whatever it's called.
Chrysler, stadium. I think they call
Chrysler
it.
Chrysler Stadium. So I like that fact that they have confidence going in. How about this, Florida State? How about we walk into this game and not talk trash? That'd be nice. Because, you know, you walked
that
in.
That backfired last year.
That backfired real big on you, didn't it, right? You shouldn't have lost that game at Doak, by the way. Your defense, that of all the – that was the worst defense. That performance alone, in my mind, should have got Tony White fired. And that just that moment right there. that was the worst defensive performance I've seen out of a Florida State defense that year. It was just absolutely atrocious. So you should go into this game. Yes, they got Heinchel, right? That's how you say it, Heinchel, yeah, back. He was great. He's going in sophomore year. Let's see if he can repeat what he did last year, right? I think, you know, having the tape on him obviously allows for you to have a little bit better plan there. You know, I do think this is a winnable game. I don't like where it is on the schedule. I hate the fact that the ACC basically screwed you with having to come from Massachusetts on a short week back to Pittsburgh, Tennessee in the cold weather there. But
Pennsylvania, yeah.
Pennsylvania, yeah. And so, you know, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at the home slate for them last year. They beat Duquesne and Central Michigan. They lost to Louisville. They beat Boston College. So three of your first wins right there are against basically nobodies, bad teams. Now, they did kind of beat the pants off NC State at home. Then they got beat pretty bad by Notre Dame and blown out by Miami. So they haven't really been exceptionally great at home either. Mm-hmm. So, again, that's not a game that you should win. Or, I mean, you should lose. I just worry more about, like we said, they're coming off a bye. You're coming off a short week with two long trips. That's what worries me the most. Now, we're going to finish the season just like we did last year, but at home. So 11-21, you get NC State at home, man. Hopefully we can get some payback. NC State went 8-5. This is, again, man, it's just the little things in these games that make me worried about them more than anything is NC State has won six of the past seven against Florida State, and Mike Norvell is 0-4 against Dave Doran. It's just the bugaboo team, man. It's just that team that, like, you know, almost every team has that, right? That they just play that game and they get nervous every year. And this is just that team for us. We know Carter Finley is a snake pit for Florida State, but they've not had trouble winning in Tallahassee either. And you also bring CJ Bailey back. But the good thing is, they did lose Hollywood Smothers, their number one running back. They lost their top two wide receivers and their number one tight end, who was number two in yards and number one in touchdowns. They lost their starting guard, starting center, both starting offensive tackles. They lost their entire defensive line, two starting linebackers, and the best cornerback they had by far as PFF grade goes. All of those are gone. Now, they did sign Josiah Trader out of Miami, so they do have a receiver there, number 44 transfer class overall. But again, man, this is – if you can overcome the juju of six of the last seven and 0-4 against Dave Doran, you know, CJ Bailey's a legitimate quarterback, but this, you were in that game last year. If you weren't having punts doink off your head, you had a chance to win that game last year on the road. So to me, being at home, I don't know what the season's going to look like by the time you get to that NC State game, but, you know, NC State, again, with their tradition, another kind of subpar, above average season, which is what they always do. They always finish in that kind of 6-9 win range. They only won 10 games one time in program history, so it's not like this is some world beater team. You should win this game at home, right? This is kind of like that Wake Forest game last year, where Wake Forest was a pretty darn decent team and you smacked them. So to me, you should win this game, but, you know, knowing all that they lost with the number 44 transfer class, so it's not like they reloaded very well. It just makes me nervous that we're Mike Norvell has not beat Dave Doran. We have not beat them but one time in the last seven meetings. It just makes you a little bit nervous for that game. But it's not a game that you shouldn't win.
Yeah, I think quickly, I feel like Dave Doran has figured something out against a Mike Norvell / Gus Malzahn offense. The last four games, Florida State has scored 22, 14, 17, and 11. The average score of the game is 26.5-16, basically. Like, our offense just goes to kaputs when we play NC State, okay? You get them at home, you get them in late November or late October, early November-ish, you should win this game, okay? You're 16-6 all-time against NC State at home. You should win this game. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. You should win this game.
Yeah, you definitely should. And then to close the season out, November the 27th, Friday – we don't know if it's going to be Friday night for sure because Texas and Texas A&M also play on that day, so it could be 3:30. You get Florida, 4-8 last year on the season. Of course, we know that they fired Billy Napier, Lagway's gone, all that good stuff. So we don't know what Florida's going to look like. It's impossible to tell right now. We know they got John Summerall, head coach from Tulane, who was a very good head coach where he was at. But, you know, Billy Napier was a very good head coach at Louisiana before he went to Florida. Honestly, man, what worries me the most about Florida is I think they hit home runs with their coordinator hires. Like Buster Faulkner from Georgia Tech at OC, it was a daggone good hire. I kind of hoped we got him when we fired Alex Atkins. And he also brought Georgia Tech's quarterback with him, not Haynes King, Aaron Filo or whatever it is. Aaron
Filo, yeah.
And then you got Brad White, the DC from Kentucky, who Kentucky's not been good, but their defense is typically good. And so I think they got two really good coordinators there. Their schedule is tough, but not like the past 2 years. They do have Vandy at home the week before they play Florida State. I'm sure they're, you know, they're not going to go unscathed, I doubt. They're probably going to take some L's in there, but I don't think it's going to be quite as bad as it was last year. You know, and they did lose Lagway, which that may be a good or bad thing, depending on how you look at it. They lost, you know, their number two receiver, number one tight end, three starters off the offensive line, but they still have Jaden Ball. They signed Eric Singleton from Auburn, and they did lose some pieces on defense, but they retained a lot of it too. I mean, they did lose Tyreek Sapp, their best defensive end, and they had the number 27 transfer class. So Florida, I think, is going to be – I think Florida's going to be better this year than they were last year and the year before that under Napier, regardless of the schedule and how it looks. I think they're just going to be – that coaching staff feels better, feels like they got some of the pieces out of there that weren't really doing a whole lot for them. So – it's going to be tough, man. I mean, you're at least you're coming off a home game when they come in on Friday. And, you know, last time we played them at home on a Friday was 2022. We had Jordan Travis back there working, magic. Doing Houdini magic. And you ended up winning that game, I think, like 45-38. So yeah. You did get the win there. It's going to be tough. I'm not going to lie, because I think Florida's going to probably take a step forward with this new coaching staff. But again, man, year one versus year seven. And you've had a chance to build your roster, and I mean their roster might be better than yours right now. But you are 6 years advanced on them, right? And you get them at home. You should win this game. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You should win this game. Doesn't mean it's going to happen, but you should win this game at home.
Yeah, if you want an early scout on the Florida's defense, literally, Brad White is the carbon copy of a Mark Stoops defense. That same, you know, front four, be as ferocious as possible, play zone on the back end. They're going to try to squeeze you, make you dink and dunk down the field. That is a certifiable Mark Stoops defense, certifiable Brad White defense. That's what they play. That's what you're going to see. And so it'll be interesting to see how Gus Malzahn matches up against that with that offense there. And then obviously if Jaden Ball comes back, I literally have nightmares about that dude running me over. My goodness. Okay. It's going to be a better Florida team. Their schedule may not reflect that, but talent wise, they're going to be better. They're going to be coached better. You know, John Summerall has won everywhere he's been. They really wanted him at Kentucky because he played linebacker at Kentucky as a collegiate athlete there, but he goes to Florida. You know, it's at home. It's going to be on Black Friday. You know, this one's hard for me to say what I'm feeling either way, because I have to kind of see how the season starts to play out with this team. If this team is coming into that game with a winning record, then I think they're up for this game. If the bowl game is online, you might as well count it as an L, because every time we've played Florida with the bowl on the line, we've lost. If there's no bowl on the line, you can count it as an L, because this team is probably already quit. Mike Norvell hopefully will already be fired. But we'll see. We'll see how this turns out.
Yeah, and this is way early, right? Yeah. We don't know what a lot of these teams are going to look like. And so this is not a W's and L's. This is just more kind of giving our gut feeling on where you should be for some of these games. And so speaking of that, man, let's just close this out with our early, way too early gut feeling. Like, we don't even know who – Kevin Sperry could be the starting quarterback for all we know coming into the season. So we'll see how things go. Now, you know I always try and find the positive in things, because I just love Florida State. But I'm looking at this schedule, and let's just say on the rosy side of things, I'm trying to give you the benefit of the doubt that you can beat that SMU team, that maybe you catch Clemson reeling in a rebuild year. You know, maybe you catch Florida in game number one, season number one under John Summerall. Maybe you get some of these games. I'm still looking at, honestly, I had 6-7 win ceiling. I would say if I'm going rosy, I still think you got like an 8 win ceiling, if I'm being completely honest. But at the end of the day, man, my gut right now, unless Florida State let's just say we come out and we hammer New Mexico State, we beat SMU and it looks good, and then you're competitive against Alabama, and then you blow out Central Arkansas or whoever they are. Okay, maybe I can get to that 8 win ceiling, right? Maybe you can do some things. in my heart of hearts right now, just knowing what I've seen the last 2 years, knowing what we did in the portal and kind of looking at what everybody's got from a 1,000-foot view from that perspective, I think we do go 1-4 on the road. I think BC's your only road win this year. I do think you're fighting for bowl eligibility at the end of the year. I mean, I realistically see this as another 5-win season. Maybe you make go 6-6 and make a bowl. And I think if you're 3-4 going into that bye week before Clemson, I think they do need to fire Mike at that point. I mean, you've probably just lost 2 road games in a row. I think at that point you gotta rip the Band-Aid off and let them go. I mean, we're all cheering for a turnaround, right? Yeah. Whether you like Mike Norvell or not, you just want to see him win some daggone games. But I mean, unless they shock to the upside and they start really, really strong, man, I really do feel like the most likely range for me right now is somewhere between 5-7 wins with a upside of about 8 and a low side of like 3 or 4, man. It's a tough schedule. It's a tough schedule, and you really only have 2 gimmies in there, and Boston College is really the only bad team on that schedule. And so, man, I think you're going to have to massively overachieve, and by golly, I hope they do it. Yeah. But it's just, for me, it's become a trust issue with this coaching staff. Like, I would love to say, yeah, man, we're going to go 9-3. They're going to surprise the upside. We did some nice things. I like some of the additions they made, but I'm worried about the defense. I've learned not to trust the staff on the road. I need to see it first. And again, we're 8 months before the season, so it's a little bit early to start all that talk. But yeah, man, I think it's, I right now, I'd be a little surprised if we made a bowl.
Yeah, I have the range, the floor being 3, and I have the ceiling being 5. Just it because, again, oof, I can't trust them on the road. I can't trust that the offense will travel. I'm banking on the fact that that defense is going to have 1-2 games where you're literally pulling out Tony White's hair and he doesn't have any to pull out. You know what I mean? Like, I have no confidence in what this team can be, but confidence in what I've seen them be. And so for me, the ceiling is 5, the floor is 3. Obviously, the New Mexico State and Central Arkansas, if you lose those games, immediately you should be fired right then and there. Like, so we are going to chalk those up as wins. I think the floor, you got 1 win somewhere that might be, you know, at Boston College, get their first road win. That might be Virginia at home, maybe, like one of those two there. And then the ceiling is you get 2 more wins somewhere else. I they're going to have to prove me wrong. Right now, gut feeling, the win range is between 3-5 is what I have it.
That's tough. But, you know, I mean, we'll see. We'll let it play out. We'll see how things look. I mean, I hope it's better than that. And I'm trying to be a little bit positive because my guy, Mike, was like, I just need some positivity. And I'm like, I'm going to try and polish this turd as best that I can. But I do think, you know, again, I do think if you go into that Virginia game and you are, you know, if you're 4 or what, let's see, 1-2, if you're 3-1 mm-hmm. with a close loss to Bama or even 4-0 and you beat Virginia, I think that Louisville-Miami back-to-back is going to be tough. But, man, I think you're going to be okay. I think you'll win some of those games on the backside, like an NC State, you know, maybe a Clemson or something like that. But to me, it's all about that SMU game. That's going to tell you, that's the tone setter for the season. Yep. You just can't repeat what you did last year and set the tone really, really high and then jump off the cliff after the
nosedive.
Yeah, you just can't do that. So it's been fun to break the schedule down, man. I know we got 7 more, 8 more months to go until the season starts, so we're starting to dream of fall a little bit already. But we just wanted to come through and do a good breakdown for you guys of the layout, the teams, and everything just from a 1,000-foot view. We got a long way to go till the season gets here, so we just thought we'd have some fun with it. If you're watching on YouTube, drop what you think of the schedule in the comments. Let us know what your ceiling and floor is already in this way too early predictions. And we'll see, man. I just want to win games. That's all I want. Just win some games.
Win.
You know, a bowl is not the standard. 8 wins is not the standard. But daggone it, man. 8-4 would feel a heck of a lot better than 4-8. But what we don't want to happen is purgatory. And you go 6-6 and we just keep on keeping on with Mike Norvell. Let's either go 9-3 or 3-9 and let's pick a direction either way. But that's going to be it for this episode, guys. We appreciate you watching. Again, support Alumni Hall, who supports us. 1415 Timberlane Road. Shop online at alumnihall.com. Save 10% with Coach Spear. You can use that code online or in store. Just tell them we sent you to get you hooked up. Drop a like and subscribe on the YouTube channel if you guys don't mind. We'd greatly appreciate that. If you would like to take it one step further and support what we do financially, you can do for $5 a month. It's like a quarter of the price of a beer at Doak Campbell Stadium. You can support us for $5 a month. Just hit that join button on YouTube. Everything we do goes back into the show, back into the tailgates and the things that we do. You can become a member. We greatly appreciate you considering that as well. We don't ask for you to pay. We let you decide whether you want to support us financially or not. Also, rate and review on the podcast helps us reach other Noel fans. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor. Shout out to my guy, Kenny, for saying something in Sam's Club. And man, I hope for a good year, Michael. Let's just leave it at that. I just hope. But hey, the good thing is we got baseball and softball coming up.
Right.
So let's excited go. About that. And with that being said, guys, we will catch you on the next one. As always,
go Noles.